And say, Happy Yom Kippur. That doesn't seem very right, does it? Yom Kippur is a solemn day, any day to reflect on your sins, but to reflect on without a sense, we're reflecting on it, but not in a sense that of just lament, but with a profound sense on this day of what's been done to us to redeem us and to cleanse us of our sins through Yeshua. And there's still an awesome reverence that comes from that. It's in response to it. But it's not one that is without hope. And so it's a very, I think it's a very different tone. But it's still, I think, a profound thought today as we thought about last week. I mean, for me to think of Jewish people around the world gathering on this day. And I think we all know if you ask the average Jewish person when they leave the synagogue on Yom Kippur, are you forgiven? They'll probably say something to the, you know, with the idea, well, who can know? Well, we actually stand here as people saying we can know. And it's critical for the way we think about God. It's critical for the way we relate to God. That we know He unconditionally forgives us because of what Yeshua did. And so as we come together today, we think upon that on this day of Yom Kippur. Let's pray. Lord, we praise You and bless You and thank You on this day. And Lord, we ask for Your presence as we say these liturgies, as we speak these words of praise to You, Lord, that You can inhabit them, that You can bring them to life in our hearts and minds, that You can help us in some remarkable way that's beyond us to reflect on what You have done for us, to see our sin more as You do, to understand the power of Your cleansing. And we pray, too, again, for our people around the world, that the veil would be taken off their eyes and they would see the beauty of the glory of the person of Yeshua, even on this day of Yom Kippur. It's in His name we pray. Amen.
If you please stand, I'd like to open us with the...
Actually, let me read the call to worship first. We are gathered together, the people of the living God, to observe the holiest day of the Jewish calendar, the Day of Atonement, known in the Scriptures as Yom Kippur. We are here to contemplate and rededicate our lives in view of the great atonement which God provided for us in our Messiah, Yeshua. Of Him it is written, He was wounded for our transgressions, He was crushed for our iniquities. It is true and certain that God reconciled the world to Himself in Messiah, not counting our sins against us. We have gathered to recall the great mercies of God, to recognize and repent of our unresponsiveness to Him, and to present ourselves anew as living sacrifices dedicated to serve Him who loved us and sent the Messiah, Yeshua, to be the complete and final atonement for our sins.
Baruch Hu et Adonai HaMevorach.
Maruch Adonai Amvorach Le'olam Va'ed.
Praise the Lord, who is worthy to be praised.
Lord, who is worthy to be praised forever and ever. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Messiah Yeshua, who gave Himself as a ransom for all, the testimony born at the proper time. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, yet for us, there is but one God, the Father, from whom are all things, and we exist for Him, and one Lord, the Messiah, Yeshua, by whom are all things, and we exist through Him. Let us therefore confess in the words of the Shema.
Please join together.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Baruch Shem, Kevod Malchuto, Leolam Va'ed.
Together in the English.
Hear, O Israel,
the Lord is our God.
The Lord is one.
Blessed be His name, whose glorious kingdom is forever and ever. And now we continue with the Ve'ahavta, where we rededicate ourselves to placing God first in our lives. In English, it says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. As we say these words tonight, let's
Let's come back to the Lord and make him number one in our lives. Ve'ahavta et Adonai Elokecha v'chol avarcha v'chol nashecha v'chol me'adecha. Together in the English. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Ve'ahavta l'recha kamocha. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself.
And let us remain standing for the standing prayer, the Amidah, a remarkable confession of our faith for thousands of years. Open my mouth, O Lord, and my lips will proclaim your praise.
Blessed are you, Lord our God, and God of our ancestors, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, great, mighty, awesome, exalted God, who bestows loving kindness, creator of all. You remembered your covenant love to our ancestors to bring a redeemer to the children's children for your name's sake.
You are the King who helps and saves and shields. Blessed are you, Lord, shield of Abraham. Your might, O Lord, is boundless. You give life to the dead. Great is your saving power.
You sustain the living with loving kindness. In your great mercy, you give life to the dead. You support the fallen. Heal the ailing, free the fettered. Whose power can compare with yours? You are the master of life and death who brings forth salvation. Whose mercy is like yours? In your mercy, you remember your creatures to life.
Faithful are you in giving life to the dead. Blessed are you, Lord, who gives life to the dead. You are holy, and your name is holy, and the holy ones daily give you praise.
Our God and God of our ancestors, pardon our sins on this Yom Kippur. Make our transgressions pass away before you, as it is written, I even am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. Our God and God of our ancestors, satisfy us with goodness, and let us rejoice in your salvation. Purify our hearts to serve you in truth.
For you are the one who forgives Israel and pardons all who truly seek you.
Accept, O Lord, the prayer of your people as it is offered. May the worship of those who call upon your name always be acceptable to you. May our eyes witness the return of our Messiah to Zion. Blessed are you, Lord, who restores his presence to Zion.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Please be seated. Tonight, as we sing these songs, let's really quiet our hearts and draw near to the Lord, that these songs would be our prayer. Last week, there was a lot of excitement as we celebrated the new year, but tonight is different. Tonight is a night of contemplation. Tonight is a night of reflection. And so let's draw near to the Lord tonight.
Let your glory fill this place. Create in me a holy space where I worship you, Father, in spirit and in truth. Remove from me a heart of stone. This cry is from a heart that's cold. Renew a fresh passion. Ignite the flame that once burned bright. Hear me call to you. Hear this cry. Oh God, I am sorry, Lord. Forgive me. let your glory fill this place. Create in me a holy space where I worship you, Father, in spirit and in truth. Remove from me a heart of stone. This cry is from a heart that's cold. Renew a fresh passion. Ignite the flame that once burned bright. Cry, oh God, I am sorry, Lord, forgive me.
Hear my call.
Hear me call to you. Hear this cry, oh God, and I am sorry, Lord. Sorry, Lord, forgive me.
This next song, Shalom Rav, it says, grant great peace to Israel. Our God is a God who is the only one who really knows exactly what peace is, and he gives us his shalom in ways that when life seems impossible and we don't know what's going to happen next, somehow when we call upon the Lord, he gives us an amazing peace.
Shalom Rav, Al Israel Amcha, Tasihim Leolam. Shalom Rav, Al Israel Amcha, Tasihim Leolam.
Shalom Rav.
Shalom Rav, Al Israel Amcha, Tasihim Shalom Rav, Al Israel Amcha, Tasihim Leolam.
Ki Atahu,
Ki Atahu Melech Adom, O HaShalom. Ki Atahu Melech Adom, Lecho HaShalom. Shalom Rav, Al Israel Amcha, Tasihim Leolam. Shalom Rav, Al Israel Amcha, Tasihim Leolam. Betov Benecha Levarech Et Amcha Yisrael, Becho et Becho Shah, Bishlomecha. Shalom Rav, Al Israel Amcha, Tasihim Leolam. Shalom Rav, Al Israel Amcha, Tasihim Leolam. Tasihim Leolam. Tasihim Leolam.
As we read the words to that song, grant great peace to Israel, your people forever. For you are the King, the God of all peace. It is good in your eyes to bless your people Israel in every time and every season with your peace, your shalom, your wholeness. Which is very appropriate as we come to our time of confession. Because confession can seem like a strange thing, you know, just to say these things and try to feel bad about yourself. But actually, when you realize that the key to peace, to finding shalom, to finding wholeness with ourselves and our relationship with God, is to actually acknowledge the stuff we do. It's an amazing thing that happens. If you think even like, this is how it works relationally. Now, some people here are married, yeah? It's an amazing thing that happens. If you've done something with your spouse, there's something like you're resentful over one another or you've said something, you actually don't come to peace really until you kind of both come to agreement on it. One person confesses, acknowledges, I was wrong. The other person acknowledges that. They seek forgiveness. Forgiveness is given, and then it's gone. But until it's said, something remains. And that's how it works in all relationships. And with God, essentially what confession is acknowledging the truth. Yes, I did do that. I agreed it. And it gives God an opportunity then to agree with you, and as you seek his forgiveness, to forgive you of it. So it's hard for God to forgive things and for you to feel the shalom with him until you've confessed it. I mean, God forgives us in the big sense, enters a relationship with us. But that process of us coming clean with ourselves is part of the process by which God washes us and draws us near. So confession actually is an incredible freeing opportunity. And al-chet here, in Hebrew, it's usually, you know, one line for every single letter of the Hebrew alphabet. And the idea is that it covers all your sins from A to Z, in a sense. You know, that it's all covered with this. This is sampling of a confession. We have it in English. And what we're going to do is each one of those sections we'll read, and then it'll be quiet after the congregational section. And that'll be a time to confess to God in quiet afterwards, to reflect on those things. And then Mike will say that line and sing that line in Hebrew. And then I'll say it in English, and we'll do the next section. But before we go through the confession, I want to give you an opportunity. You see, each one in the congregation, it's an identical line. For the sin which we've committed in thy sight through arrogance. But just look at those different lists of those things before we begin, just so you have an idea so that none of them surprise you. And you can begin reflecting on them. Just kind of walk down and turn the page, and it's on the next page as well. Each of the categories. Again, I think as we confess, to think of it in terms of, I think the Bible would kind of describe when we've done wrong things, it burdens us. It becomes like a blocks we hold down. And through confession, in a sense, we lay down our burdens before God and seek forgiveness. So allow God to free us of these things by acknowledging that this is, so many of these things are things that we do so often. So let us begin. May it be thy will, O Lord our God and God of our fathers, to forgive all our sins, to pardon all our iniquities, and to grant us atonement for all our transgressions. Together. For the sin which we have committed in thy sight through arrogance, and for the sin which we have committed before thee by breaking promises, for the sin which we have committed in thy sight by casting off responsibility, for the sin which we have committed before thee by denying and lying, for the sin which we have committed in thy sight by evil thoughts, for the sin which we have committed before thee through fraud and falsehood, for the sin which we have committed in thy sight through gossip, for the sin which we have committed before thee by hatred.
Ve'aham kulam Elohai selichot selach lanu v'chol lanu kaper lanu.
For all these, O God of forgiveness, forgive us, pardon us, and grant us atonement through Yeshua.
For the sin
which we have committed in thy sight, by being insincere in relationships, for the sin which we have committed before thee through lack of justice, for the sin which we have committed in thy sight, either knowingly or unknowingly, for the sin which we have committed before thee through lustful behavior, for the sin which we have committed before thee
through meditation of the heart that was sinful,
for the sin which we have committed before thee by not honoring thy name,
for the sin which we have committed in thy sight, openly or secretly,
for the sin which we have committed before thee by being presumptuous,
for the sin which we have committed in thy sight by being quick to spread rumors,
and for the sin which we have committed before thee by resisting parents or teachers.
Ve'aham kulam Elohai selichot selach lanu v'chol lanu kaper lanu.
For all these, O God of forgiveness, forgive us, pardon us, grant us atonement through Yeshua.
For the sin which we have committed in thy sight by scoffing and ridiculing others,
and for the sin which we have committed before thee through talking idly,
for the sin which we have committed in thy sight by unchastity,
and for the sin which we have committed before thee through violence,
for the sin which we have committed in thy sight by wronging our neighbor,
and for the sin which we have committed before thee through excess in eating and drinking,
for the sin which we have committed in thy sight by yet being proud,
and for the sin which we have committed before thee through our lack of zeal.
Ve'aham kulam Elohai selichot selach lanu v'chol lanu kaper lanu.
Please join me. For all these, O God of forgiveness, forgive us, pardon us, grant us atonement through Yeshua. Amen.
We now continue with a couple of prayers that we only do during the High Holy Days. Avinu Malkeinu, followed by Hashiveinu. Avinu Malkeinu, often when we pray, we start with this. Yeshua himself, when he said, was asked, how do you pray? He started with this. He said, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And our Father in heaven, Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King. It says, be gracious to us, answer us, for we have no merits. Show us charity and loving kindness and save us. The great thing is our God is our Father and he wants to grant us peace. He wants to give us charity. He wants to give us love as a father does.
Avinu Malkeinu, Avinu Malkeinu, Avinu Malkeinu, Chanenu Vahanenu, Kien Banu Masim, Aseh Imanu, Tzedaka V'Chesed, Aseh Imanu, Tzedaka V'Chesed, Vehoshienu, Avinu Malkeinu, Avinu Malkeinu, Avinu Malkeinu, Chanenu Vahanenu, Ki Ein Banu Masim.
Our Father and our King, be gracious to us and answer us. For we have no merits. Show us charity and loving kindness, and Lord, save us. Please join me as we continue with Hashivenu.
Hashivenu, 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 Adonai Elecha. Vena shuva, vena shuva, chadesh, chadesh, yamenu kekedem, hashivenu, hashivenu, Hashivenu Adonai Elecha Vena Shuva Vena Shuva Chadesh Chadesh Yamenu Kekedem Chadesh Chadesh Yamenu kekedem.
Together in the English. Restore us to yourself, O Lord, that we may return. Renew our days as of old. And we continue now with the Kaddish. Oftentimes the Kaddish is thought of in times of mourning, but when you read the words of this prayer, which are at the bottom of page 10, this is a prayer of praise, and recognizing how great and glorious our God is. It says in the English, He's magnified and sanctified. Holy is His great name. Please join me with the Kaddish.
Yitkadal v'yitkadash me rabba ve'alma dibarach kirute ve'amlich malchute ve'chayechon ivomechon ve'chayedicho bet Yisrael v'agalah v'zman kariv rimru amin Yehesh me rabba mevarach le'olamu ameyamaya yitbarach Yitbarach v'yistabach v'yitrapar V'yit Roman, V'yit Nase, V'yit Hadar, V'yit Ale, V'yit Halel, Shemei Dekudasha, Baruchu, Le'ele Min Kobirchata, V'shirata Tushbechata, V'nechamata Diamiran V'alma, V'imru Amen. Yehesh Lama Rabba Min Shemaya, V'chayim Aleinu V'akol Yisrael, V'imru Amen. O say shalom b'mromav, hu yase shalom, aleinu ve'al kol Yisrael, v'imru amen.
Together in the English. Magnified and sanctified be His great name in the world, which He hath created according to His will. May He establish His kingdom during your life and during your days, and during the life of all the house of Israel, even speedily, and at a near time, and let us say, Amen. Let his great name be blessed forever and to all eternity. Blessed, praised, and glorified, exalted, extolled, and honored, magnified and lauded be the name of the Holy One. Blessed be he. Though he be high above all the blessings and hymns, praises and consolations which are uttered in the world, and let us say, Amen. May there be abundant peace from heaven, and life for us, and for all Israel, and let us say, Amen. He who makes peace in his high places, may he make peace for us, and for all Israel, and let us say, Amen. Please be seated. You know, when I think back of growing up going to Yom Kippur services, what I remember is that they were incredibly long. I think they lasted, 20, 30 hours. Was that your recollection? It was really long, and it was interesting. I don't know if I ever really got it. I remember my father beating his chest as he would reflect on all of the sins that we've committed and we needed forgiveness. But I will say, as a believer in Yeshua, in Jesus, as my Messiah and our Messiah and Redeemer, this holiday has changed dramatically. Because now I am so overcome by reflecting on my sin and my need for a Savior. But also equally overcome by the fact that I have a Savior. We have a Savior, Yeshua, who died so that we could live. And He is wonderful and He is merciful. What an amazing God to have given His Son, His Messiah, our Messiah, to die so that we could live. As we sing these next couple of songs, let's just reflect on how wonderful God is to have given us His Son.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend. Who would have thought that a Lamb could rescue the souls of men? Oh, You rescue the souls of men. Counselor, Comforter, Keeper, Spirit we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost the way. Oh, we hopelessly lost the way. You are the one we praise. And You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger. Almighty, infinite Father, faithfully loving Your own. Here in our weakness You find us, falling before Your throne. Oh, we're falling before Your throne. You are the one we praise. You are the one we praise. You are the one we adore. it's always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. And you are the one we praise. You are the one we adore. Always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for.
This next song, Say Ha Elohim. Say Ha Elohim means Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Have mercy on us, Lord and Redeemer. Son of God, pardon us. Yeshua, we bow down before you. Let's make this our prayer tonight as we reflect on the Lamb of God.
Say Ha Elohim, Hanoseh Hatat Ha'olam, Rachem Na'alenu Adon Begoel, Ben Elohim Chanenu, Rachem Na'alenu Adon Begoel, Ben Elohim Chanenu.
Yeshua,
Yeshua, Yeshua, Anu Mishtachavim Lepanecha. Yeshua, Yeshua, Anu Mishtachavim Lepanecha. Say Ha Elohim, Hanoseh Hatat Ha'olam, Rachem Na'alenu Adon Begoel, Ben Elohim Chanenu, Rachem Na'alenu Adon Begoel, Ben Elohim Chanenu. Yeshua, Yeshua, Anu Mishtachavim Lepanecha. Yeshua, Yeshua, Anu Mishtachavim Lepanecha. Anu Mishtachavim Lepanecha.
Baruch Hu et Adonai Hamavorach.
Hamavorach Le'olam Va'ed.
Baruch Adonai Hamavorach Le'olam Va'ed. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam. Asher Natan Lanu Torat Emet Ve'Chayei Olam Nata Betochenu. Baruch Ata Adonai Noten HaTorah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord who is worthy to be praised.
Blessed be the Lord, who is worthy to be praised forever and ever.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe. You chose us from all peoples, giving us your Torah. You are the blessed one who gave us the Torah.
Robert Phil now read from Leviticus 16, at the end of it, 29 to 34. You can come up here. Although I fear that's not on.
This is to be a lasting ordinance for you. On the 10th day of the 7th month, you must deny yourselves and not do any work, whether native-born or an alien living among you. Because on this day, atonement will be made for you to cleanse you. Then before the Lord, you will be clean from all your sins. It is a Sabbath of rest, and you must deny yourselves. It is a lasting ordinance. The priest who is anointed and ordained to succeed his father as high priest is to make atonement. He is to put on the sacred linen garments and make atonement for the most holy place, for the tent of meeting and the altar, and for the priests and all the people of the community. This is to be a lasting ordinance for you. Atonement is to be made once a year for all the sins of the Israelites. And it was done as the Lord commanded Moses.
Thank you, Robert.
Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu Torat emet v'chayei olam nata betochenu. Baruch ata Adonai, noten haTorah. Amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe. You gave us your true instruction and planted everlasting life in our midst. You are the blessed one who gave us the Torah.
Amen. Judy Feldman, Dinger, will now read Haftorah portion from Isaiah 53. Do you want to go on the mic, Judy? Do you mind? Yeah, it's not working.
Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb for the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living, for the transgression of my people he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By knowledge of him, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors.
Thank you, Judy.
It's amazing how God works. You know, how do we know what the Messiah is going to be, what he's going to look like, what he's going to do? Well, he tells us in his Torah and his scriptures. And what the scripture that Judy just read was written hundreds of years before Yeshua came. And yet, as a believer in Yeshua, we can look at that and say, wow, look what Yeshua did. He died for our transgressions. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. God is great, and he is not some far-off God who doesn't care. He's a God who draws near. And he's given us his scripture so that we can really know who he is. Know his character, know his love, know his justice, know his peace. As we continue now with Etz Chaim, these are the words from the scripture that say, it is a tree of life. It's referring to the scripture, the wisdom of God. It's a tree of life to those of us who grab a hold of it. And all its supporters are happy. The ways of the scripture, the ways of God, are ways of pleasantness. And all of its paths bring peace. And then as we've seen this, it's also our prayer. Bring us back, Lord, to you. We will repent. We will turn. Make our days new, just as in times of old. Please join me as we sing Etz Chaim. Etz Chaim hi lemachazikim ba v'tomchecha meusha derachecha dachen noham v'chol nativoteha shalom. Hashivenu Adonai Elecha v'nashuva Chadesh, Chadesh yameinu Chadesh yameinu kekedem. Together in the English. It is a tree of life to those who grasp it, and its supporters are happy. Its ways are ways of pleasantness, and all its paths are peace. Bring us back, Lord, to you, and we will repent. Renew our days as of old.
Well, as we talk about Yom Kippur this year, I'm going to take a little bit of a different tact. I think oftentimes when I think about Yom Kippur, when I talk about it, especially as in this context of believers in Yeshua, we'll often talk about the way Yeshua is the final Yom Kippur sacrifice. And as Isaiah 53 so, you know, brilliantly, amazingly shows him as that final atonement for sin, like that great lamb in Leviticus chapter 16. But I think I want to take a little different direction tonight. Because I think one of the objections, I know, at least for myself, before I was a believer in Yeshua, then I hear from many other Jewish people, is almost like the New Covenant faith is like a foreign faith, the way we relate to God in this personal way, where we expect to have God have a personal relationship. Sometimes that doesn't feel very Jewish. Think of God like that. Or the idea that we can be forgiven. You know, that, you know, a heart of Judaism is this, you know, sense of, you know, you must do right. I mean, gosh, Yom Kippur, the three books are opened up, the book of the righteous, the book of the wicked, the book of everyone in between. You try to do good deeds, to do right before God. If nothing else, Judaism is powerful in ethics. It's when you'll see, you know, Jewish people give far more than others, do more work at the center of almost every great social movement you'll see in the history of our country. You'll see Jewish people on the front lines of them. A sense of doing what's right is critical. It's the idea that we can be forgiven apart from that feels, you know, odd to it. And, you know, the very idea that, you know, that the concept of Yeshua, that God's going to redeem us. I mean, there it is, Isaiah 53, but they all feel like these foreign concepts. So what I'm going to do today is take a little bit of a different tact. To look at our Yom Kippur theology, we're actually look at a psalm, Psalm 130. I think as we view Psalm 130, in many ways it's a reflection of what I think a good Yom Kippur theology looks like. not a Yom Kippur theology that's necessarily rooted in Judaism, but one that's rooted, I think, in a proper understanding of the Torah and the way the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, would view it. And so we're going to take a look at Psalm 130 and look at five principles, I think, of a good Yom Kippur theology about how we relate to God, what Yom Kippur really means. So first I'm going to read Psalm 130. I think we have it up there. I want you to look at it. We had it. Is it still over there? Wow, what happened? Is there a second? There it is. That'll teach the devil to get in here. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore you are feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. In his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchmen wait for the morning. More than the watchmen wait for the morning. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. This is Psalm 130, one of the great songs of Israel. And needless to say, this is Old Testament, as much as it may appear the other ways. So what do we understand about how we relate to God from this psalm? And how we think about sins, forgiveness, and everything. So I'm looking at kind of five different principles. The first principle I see comes in verse 1 and 2, and we'll just kind of walk through the psalm for our five principles. Verse 1 and 2 says, out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. I think one of the first principles we see is that God is near. God is personal. I mean, there's an expectation in this psalm of a God who hears us when we're in trouble. A God who hears my voice, who's attentive. You know, it's not a God who's far out there. It's not a God who's not personal. This is a God we expect to act. A God we believe hears us when we cry, who is near us, who expects to hear our voice, and we expect to hear a response. A personal God. And this is not form. I mean, this to me, when you think of a Yom Kippur theology, this has to be in the center of it, that God wants to know you. I mean, the whole, you know, the whole idea of the tabernacle and the temple and the sacrifices is all about God wanting to reveal himself. You know, the very idea when God redeemed us out of the land of Egypt, he reached down out of the heavens and took a people out. Why? Because he loved them in his great mercy. Why give them the law? Why give the scriptures? Because he wanted to reveal himself. Why dwell in the tabernacle in the midst of them? Because he wants to be near them. He wants to be close to them. He wants to relate to them. He wants us to relate to him. That's at the centerpiece of why God relates to us. So if we have an understanding that God is way out there, that our religion is kind of this theoretical thing we do when we come into, you know, church or a synagogue or whatever it is, then we don't understand the God that's revealed in the scriptures, Old or New Covenant. A God's revealed on Yom Kippur, that wants to cleanse us and bring us close to him. So principle number one, I think, of a good Yom Kippur theology is that God is near to us. He's personal. We cry. We cry, and he hears us when we're in need. I think ultimately we need to understand when you come to the new covenant, this is why Yeshua came in the flesh among us. Many people say, wow, how ridiculous that a man could become God. But that's not it at all. God tabernacled as a man. God came in the flesh that we might know him, that we might draw near him, that he might show us fully, fully reveal himself. Everything he's hinting at in the Old Testament scriptures are fully realized and fulfilled in Yeshua. So principle number two is it says, after that, Lord, hear my voice, O ears, be attentive to my cry for mercy. Then he says, if you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, who could stand, O Lord? But with you there is forgiveness. It's a key idea, isn't it? You know, no one is righteous before God. And we don't come to God based on our righteousness. I mean, this verse right here chucks out the entire idea of the three books open up on Rosh Hashanah, doesn't it? I mean, the idea that we could come to God on the basis of my good works. If there's anything we could do, that's enough. We realize we're dealing with a holy God who sees everything, who knows everything. And he says, if that God was actually going to mark every single one of our failures, looking at them all one after another, every word, everything we said, every time we didn't do what we should do, every comment, I mean, it'd be incredible. Because, Lord, if God actually kept a record of all that stuff and said, okay, let's see if you're good enough to stand up before me, who could stand, Lord? Nobody. No way. Never. So why are we even with him? Oh, Lord, because with you there is forgiveness. It's always by grace. It's been by grace from the beginning to the end. A lot of people say, oh, Old Testament, that's law. New Testament's grace. It's like, no way. Grace to grace to grace to grace to grace. It's always been grace. All, you know, which came first, the Ten Commandments or the Passover? Right? Did he redeem us out of land of Egypt because we obeyed the Ten Commandments? No. He redeemed us out of land of Egypt and he gave us the Ten Commandments so that we could walk with him out of grace. Now we stand before God on the basis of grace, on the basis of his love for us. When him, intrinsic to his nature, is that he forgives us and enables us then to stand in his presence, that he does not hold our sins against us. And that's what Yom Kippur is about as a whole. I mean, as it says, that which Robert read in Leviticus 16, this is the whole point of the day. This is what's commanded us in Leviticus 16. It says, it's a lasting ordinance for you. On the 10th day of the 7th month, you must deny yourselves and not do any work, whether native-born or an alien living among you. Why? Because on this day, Yom Kippur, the day of atonement will be made for you to cleanse you. Then before the Lord, what will happen? You will be clean from all your sins. The amazing thing about Leviticus 16 is we pretty much don't do anything. It's amazing. It's basically stand in awe and watch what God does for you on this day as he cleanses you and makes you clean. On this day, and this is all this great foreshadowing, but it's the idea that Lord took it, realizing Israel and the tabernacle and everything was defiled before him, and on what this day a year, I think in a very symbolic way, he would take it and he would cleanse it. Foreshadowing the ultimate cleansing, not just of Israel, but of all people. And I would say principle number three we see in this psalm is he says, but with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared. Forgiveness does not lead to licentiousness. We would say, you know, realizing we're forgiven does not go, oh, all right, you know, who cares what I do then? It's quite the opposite. It says forgiveness motivates you to want to do what's right. I mean, that was the whole Les Miserables about, right? You know, Victor Hugo, the character had this incredible mercy shown to him, and that mercy and that grace transformed his life. It's because of his incredible mercy and grace shown us that we want to serve God, that we want to praise God, that we want to relate to God. Again, because we were redeemed from the land of Egypt, he gave us the law so we can be in fellowship with him and we would long to do it as we're amazed about the level of his forgiveness and his love for us. I mean, it's amazing. You know, one of the things in marriage counseling, that's an enormous thing, is that people think that what's the best way to get your spouse to behave the way you want to? They think if I kind of hold out, I'm going to leave unless you change this. But that's a really good motivational technique. It's actually one of the worst things you can possibly do in your marriage. Because that you'll never be close. If that person's always walking on, they don't even know that your love for them is always dependent and conditional based on their actions, you will never be close to them. Even when they're doing right, you will not have intimacy. You will not have closeness. That happens via grace. It happens because I know I'm loved, unconditionally accepted, and therefore I want to live, and I want to be close to you. It's the same thing with God. If we live in this way where we're worried about at each point trying to do what's right, and that's not fear of the Lord. That's not a fear which leads us to being close to him, which leads us to love him and desire to be near him. No, God, there's a forgiveness which makes us want to desire to serve God. And fear, that word means almost more like a reverence. You know, it's the kind of fear, the good fear a child has of his parents when that fear of their parents helps them to do what's right for their own good. That knowledge of them, not fear that my parents are going to, you know, boot me out or stop loving me, but a sense that recognizing who they are and their reverence, or, you know, there's a good fear of the police that helps us do what's right. And it doesn't mean we resent the police or police are bad folks, but it helps. There's a fear which is good, which is at the heart of really walking with God. It's a fear which leads to worship and service. It's a good fear, not a bad fear. So that's principle three, is forgiveness actually leads us to fear. And therefore, you are feared because you have forgiveness, which is an incredibly ironic statement. And there it is right in the middle of the Psalms, center of New Testament theology. I'd say number four is, and it's going to kind of move that last verse because it connects the next three. In verse 5, it says, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits. In his word, I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman waits for the morning. Imagine the watchman on the wall longing to be off his duty. You know, when's it going to come? You know, I'm the whole city is waiting on me. Even the pressure of that and longing to be off his duty. My soul is waiting like that for the Lord. And the principle there is that waiting is spiritual work. We think, you know, the kind of living, knowing that we're loved, knowing the grace, but this thing of not having now. You know, sometimes we wait for the Lord's return and we suffer and why hasn't, you know, the Messiah's come, why isn't everything good now? You know, the idea that we wait longing. And what's our wait based on? As it says here, O Israel, put your hope in the Lord. Why? Because with the Lord is unfailing love. This is chesed. Sense that he loves you apart from your actions, his unconditional covenantal love, that God has committed to you and you can trust him. That although it's hard here, although we don't see him, although we walk by faith, we know that God has made a promise to us and he'll keep it. And we wait. And even though things don't look right here, and even though we suffer and struggle things and there's hardships and there's injustices in this world, we know that God's promises are true and he'll make things right. And our hope and our trust in him will not be lost and not be in vain. That he will take us to be with him in his time and in his way. For we trust in his unfailing love, because with him is full redemption. And really that full redemption, that hesed love, is really what brings us to a fifth principle of our Yom Kippur theology. And that is, for with the Lord is unfailing love, with him is full redemption. Why? Because he himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. How is God going to accomplish this? Is it going to be because we are going to make a way by which we could be redeemed? No. God is going to act sovereignly himself to make it happen. That's very much related to what Isaiah 53, what Judy read earlier. You know, to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? That God in his holy arm, I mean, God's great action has reached down and made it happen. It says that God, many times in Isaiah, it says that God himself has acted. He realized that people were helpless. They could not redeem themselves. They were lost in their sins. They were struggling. This world was broken. God himself stepped into the world and redeemed himself. And that's through the Messiah, Yeshua. That God himself will redeem it. And that's the incredible picture of Yeshua as the fulfillment. Now, this is not, I mean, even this whole message on a New Testament, I mean, Psalm 130 sounds like it's straight out of New Testament theology. But it's all right there. That God hears us and God loves us. That God forgives us, not based on what we do, but based on his incredible grace. That forgiveness transforms our lives and makes us want to walk with him. That he takes hold of our heart through his grace. And that we wait and trust and hope, knowing his great love for us. And knowing what he's accomplished for us through Yeshua. It's amazing truths, isn't it? And as we sit on Yom Kippur Day, and as we think on our sins, and we think of his great forgiveness, let us remember and think upon the incredible God who loves us, who cares for us, who cleanses us, who has his eye upon us, who hears our cry, who we can lay our burdens before, who longs to forgive us and hold us close and take us to be where he is. We place our trust in him. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your incredible goodness, Lord. Thank you for your amazing mercy. Thank you that I can stand up here and actually speak and believe the creator of the universe, the Alpha and the Omega, the one who made the world, who has known all people who ever lived on this planet, actually listens and hears and remembers us and accounts for us and knows us. Truly, such knowledge is too wonderful for us, too mighty for us to attain to, as the psalmist says. Lord, let us be continually amazed by your mercy and your grace. Lord, let us throw off the things which hinder us, the things which get in the way of our relationship with you, the sins we let entangle us. Let us cast off our pride and lay ourselves open before you on this day. We praise you and thank you in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Thank you, Garrett. If you please stand and turn to page 14 in your bulletin. Before we close out these days of awe with a final shofar blast, I'd like us to join together and sing Ein Kelohenu. The translation says, Ein, there is none. Ein Kelohenu, there's none like our God. There's none like our Lord. None like our King and none like our Savior. Mi Kelohenu, who is like our God? No de Lelohenu. It says, we give thanks to our God. And Baruch Eloheinu, blessed is our God. Let's join now and praise the Lord as we sing Ein Kelohenu. Ein Kelohenu, Ein Kadonenu, Ein Kemokenu, Ein Kemoshienu, Mi Kelohenu, Mi Kadonenu, Mi Kemokenu, Mi Kemoshienu, No De Lelohenu, No De Ladonenu, No De Lemokenu, No De Lemoshienu, Baruch Eloheinu, Baruch Adonenu, Baruch Malkenu, Baruch Moshienu. There is none like our God, none like our Lord. There is none like our King and none like our Savior. Who is like our God? Who is like our Lord? Who is like our King? Who is like our Savior? We give thanks to our God. We give thanks to our Lord. We give thanks to our King. We give thanks to our Savior.
Together, blessed is our God. Blessed is our Lord. Blessed is our King. Blessed is our Savior. Amen.
Please remain standing.
Tekiah Gedolah!
I'd like to close our service. Please bow your heads for the Aaronic benediction. Yivarech Adonai ve'yismarecha Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panav elecha V'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen. Good yontov and Shabbat shalom. Thank you.